Hey guys, it's Mary. Before we jump into the episode, I want to share something with you I am so freaking excited about. I have teamed up with some of the best yoga teachers and online creators to bring you the Yoga Bundle. This is a collection of over 60 ebooks, programs, and guides that are available to you at a bundled price of just $50. Yes, you heard that right. 60 yoga, health, and wellness products for only 50 bucks. The value of this bundle is insane. When I saw everything that was included, it blew my mind. Because if you were to purchase everything on its own, you'd have to spend over $2,600. But for this first week of October, you can get it all for just 50 bucks. I'll include the link in the show notes, and you can also find the link to get this in my Instagram bio as well. There is something for everyone in this bundle. So there is beginner yoga programs and challenges. I'm including my 14-day beginner yoga challenge. There are ebooks on mental wellness, self-love, reflection. There are workout guides, mobility and flexibility programs, hundreds of healthy recipes, advanced yoga guides. There's like a couple on headstand and handstand that I'm so excited to dive into myself, and so much more. But you have to act fast. The bundle is only available until October 9th of 2021. And it's super easy. So I'll include the link for you to get the bundle in the show notes. But once you purchase the bundle, you'll receive an email confirmation with an access page so you can download all of the ebooks and then get access to all of the courses and programs that are included in the bundle. And once you have them for life. I have stepped up my morning routine with the journaling guides, and I have also started this train at home workout plan that's helping me build my strength back after being pregnant and then recovering after my pregnancy. I am also working on my handstands again. Like I said, there are a couple guides on that, and it's been so much fun to get back into this playful, fun practice. So go get the yoga bundle from the link in the show notes, and I can't wait for you to start diving into these incredible programs and watch your life start to transform. Now, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast, where you'll be guided on how to step up into your evolved woman,
design your dream life, and start living it.
Let's get vibey.
Welcome back to the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast. Mary, how's it going? You are glowing and radiating today. Loving the hat. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the vibe that Mary's got going on right now. It's so vibey.
Yeah, I feel like I'm channeling my inner Sarah today wearing the hat because that's normally what she does. But I was rocking this thing this weekend. I had like a fun girls' day out this weekend. I rocked the hat. I loved it and am on board 100%. So you're about to see me in a ton of hats this fall.
You guys, Mary and I were having the conversation last week about how a hat, did we talk about this? I can't remember if we talked about it in the show or before, but either way, it's worth saying again. Throw on a hat and it completely changes your vibe. Like the way you feel, the way you look, it's like the easiest way because you guys know that Mary and I both work from home. So it's really easy to get in the habit of just like dressing however we want to dress, you know, even if that's just like sluts, which is amazing most of the time. And sometimes you want to feel like cute. So you could literally be wearing like, sometimes I'll wear leggings and a tank top. I'll throw on a hat and all of a sudden I'm like wearing a cute outfit.
Yep. It puts together an outfit like instantly.
So, literally magic.
Do it, I love you guys. It.
So Mary, what are you feeling vibey about today?
Okay. So I cannot believe that I did not mention this on last week's episode. I am feeling vibey about Ted Lasso, the TV show. Have you started watching it yet?
Kind of started. I like started, got like 2 minutes in and then got distracted and stopped. So share, please share.
I feel like I am so late to the Ted Lasso game. Everyone has been raving about it. Jason Sudeikis is winning so many awards for this show. Actually, really? Like other people on the show are winning awards. Yeah. Like,
oh my gosh.
Huge. Wow. Everyone loves this. So once I got the new iPhone, I got like a 3-month trial to Apple TV. So that's what it's on. If you guys want to watch it too, so worth it. And I want to say Apple TV is like $5 a month. So even if you just subscribe and watch this show, it's so worth the money, you guys. It is such a, it's quirky. It's laugh out loud funny. Jake and I watch it together. So he likes it. I like it. It's just a feel good show. The characters are also interesting and juicy, and you just fall in love with every single one of them. It's just amazing. In fact, I've been making bullet points because I want to have an episode on life lessons that you learn from this show, because mm-hmm. Ted has such an interesting perspective on life. And I feel like there's so many things that we can like try to improve and like add to our own life. So
totally. I'm going to have to watch it, and we'll have to do the episode.
It is amazing. So that's what I'm vibey about. Go watch the show, you guys. If you haven't seen in my stories, I've been talking about it like every day. And every time I do, a bunch of people DM me and they're like, love this show so much. So
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, girl. It is good.
Well, before you, obviously, you're introducing it to me.
It's amazing. So someone told me that it is like the 2021 Schitt's Creek.
Oh, okay. Well, I love Schitt's Creek, so I'm definitely going to have to check it out.
Yeah. So what are you feeling vibey about, Sarah?
All the things. So I'm still feeling vibey about fall. I'm pretty sure I'll say that every single episode until I move or until it becomes winter. So I'm feeling a vibey about fall. I'm feeling vibey about on Friday, Zach and I are going on a shopping spree and getting new clothes and going to a nice dinner. So I'm really excited about that.
Ooh, okay. Do you guys like shopping together, or is it, cause I feel like Zach likes to go shopping.
He does. Zach very much so cares about his style, which I love. And so it's so funny. Gosh, this just describes. So I was like talking on my Instagram stories the other day. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I was asking people, when you are baking or cooking, do you wait for the oven to be fully preheated, or did you just put the food in? And
wait, Zach, do you want to hear what my answer was?
Yeah. What is it?
I put the food in right away.
Yeah. Okay. Same. Me too. And Zach does not, like, he waits. And I'm like, oh my God, that's such a reflection of our relationship, because he is so much more patient than I am, which is surprising to a lot of people, because like, I'm the one who's doing inner work like all day, every day. But he is like, patience is just sometimes not that thing for me. But as far as shopping goes, like, it's the same thing. Our relationship's reflected there. I don't love shopping with him. I like watching him try stuff on and like telling him like, yes, it looks good, or no, it doesn't. But I don't really like shopping with him, because if I'm shopping, I want to be shopping for me.
Yeah. I'm a solo shopper through and through, like maybe with a girlfriend, but definitely not with Jake.
Yeah. Zach's great though. I mean, he's so great, because I don't like shopping with him. I get impatient. I just want to shop for me. But when we're shopping for me, he's like into it. Like, oh yeah, try this on. Like, oh, you look so, like, hyping me. He's literally my hype man. So
I could see that for sure.
Yeah. I'm excited. So we are doing that. Obviously, we just sold the house, and a lot of the money that we made off of the house is going to be reinvested into future real estate. But we are taking some money to go shop and to get some new clothes and to, we're both very much so into right now, like, shopping for a style that defines who we are, because we both are in a place where we feel like our wardrobes represent the old us. And I'm in him too. We're very much so people who like our clothing to represent our personalities. And we like that to reflect us. And it's a way that we are creative and use art. So I'm excited about that. And my last thing is, I'm very vibey about my new membership, Inward and Upward, and how it's popping off. So everybody is loving the meditations in there. And I'm like being a creative channel right now. So my creativity has been something that it's taken me a while to really connect to. And I used to have the story that I'm not creative. I would say it over and over again. And of course, if I'm identifying with it, then that's going to be my reality. And so obviously I shifted that and started believing like, oh, I am a creative being. We're all creative beings. And I started leaning into that a little bit. And of course I started doing work around letting my creativity come online, and Inward and Upward was seriously what made that pop off, because the meditations and breathwork sessions that are flowing through me, I don't know where the ideas come from. And I don't even know where the words come from. It used to be at the beginning of my career, I used to like have to sit down in front of my computer, type out every single word for the meditation. It would take like hours to write one. Now I just plug in my microphone, click record, and go. And
beautiful.
I can tell that people love them way more. So yeah, that's what making me feel vibey too.
I believe it. That's a skill. I am not quite there yet, especially not with breath work, but even with yoga, I remember having to feel very scripted when I would speak. I've gotten a little bit better at it, but it's a skill. So that's really amazing. But I agree that when you aren't scripted, you're able to really speak in the moment, which is so much more powerful.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So the things are making me feel super vibey, but
I'm also feeling vibey. Oh, wait, are you adding something else?
No, go.
I was going to say I'm vibey about our topic that we're
going to talk about. I was going to say that too.
Okay. What you guys, when we were just quickly reviewing what we're going to talk about, I was like, Sarah, this episode is about to be freaking fire.
It is.
So today's episode topic is all about mental health reminders. Mm. And Sarah, I want you to say what you said to me before about when I shared this topic idea, like what came to you when you were coming up with what you're going to share today.
Yeah. So the first thing that came up, because there are probably, I could seriously probably sit here and make a list of 50 of them. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to, you know, not share all 50 on the show, but I asked myself the question, what are the mental health reminders that I need right now? And that not even right now, I feel like these mental health reminders are ones that I like always need. And so that's kind of the perspective I'm coming from today. And the other thing that actually came to mind that I haven't shared with you yet when you shared this topic idea with me is for some reason, I feel like when the seasons shift, that's when we need the mental health reminders the most. I don't know what it is. It's something in the atmosphere, something in the air. It's like, I you know what? Maybe it's the fact that I feel like when a season shifts, the human mind is so quick to be like, oh my God, another season has come and gone. What am I doing with my life? Like, where am I? How is life flying by so fast? I haven't changed a thing. You know, that's, I feel like that's just when we're really reflecting on life is when the season shifts, when we all kind of shift into a new lifestyle because of the season shift is when we all really need these reminders.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing too, that I want you guys to remember is that these are good reminders for everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to become an expert at any of these things that we're sharing. And I feel like there's, for me at least, there are times that I do really well with some of them. And then I kind of like slide back and like vice versa, things that I used to really struggle with or get triggered by or whatever, like I get better at them. And sometimes I'm not doing as well at them. So it's okay for there to be good days, bad days. Don't ever beat yourself up about that kind of stuff. Yeah, and so there are reminders for everyone. Maybe some of them you are going to resonate with so hardcore. Maybe some of them you're like, I'm already a rock star at that, but don't let that deter you. Like if anything, I challenge you to ask yourself in that moment, even if you are like, I'm really good at this, ask like, what can I still learn? Like how can I still do better at this? Because there's always that room for growth.
So. For sure. I'm like looking at my list right now, thinking about it because my list, like I said, these ones are, I always need to be reminded of them and I'm pretty good at embodying them and I can take all of these to another level, hands down. So if I can, I know you guys can too.
For sure.
All right, Mary, start us off. What's your first mental health reminder?
Okay. So the one that came to mind for me, this is probably one that I've struggled the most with the last several years is don't compare your day one to someone else's day 500. And what I mean by that is it's very easy to look at other people, look at their careers, look at their relationships, look at the successes that they're having in life and start to compare yourself to that. And you don't know, like I did this with yoga, I did this with business. Like you don't know what that person's journey has been, has gone through, how long they've been on that. Yep. And so kind of like what we were just saying with the vibey, if I sat and I compared myself to Sarah and I said like, oh, Sarah doesn't even write scripts anymore. She just speaks from the heart. Like Sarah's on like day 500, you guys, I'm still very much on like day one. Like I'm still in breathwork training. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning kind of my groove with how to facilitate this. And so I'm naturally not going to be on the same level as someone who's been doing it for so much longer than I have. Mm-hmm. But if you were just to compare it, like where she's at now and where I'm at now, it can be so easy to get down on yourself, to want to give up, to feel like a failure when you should be doing the complete opposite. Right. Continue to show up, continue to put that work in because every single day builds on one another. Mm-hmm. You are going to continue to get better and grow in your own way on your own timeline. And that's really the most important thing for you to be focusing on, mm-hmm. not comparing yourself to someone else, especially someone else who is already ahead of you in the game.
Yeah. I love that so much. It's so good and such a great reminder. I'm so glad you brought this to the show today. And to add to it a little bit, if you can, because sometimes if you're comparing yourself to people, you might just have to let them go for a while. You might have to hide their stories, hide their posts until you work through whatever you need to work through. But sometimes you can shift it and let that person be an inspiration and like let that person show you what's available to you as well. So
that was a huge lesson for me in my business too, yeah. is instead of looking at it like they have this and I don't, looking at it like this is what can happen. This is what yeah. is possible. They're doing it. If they can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. So when you were speaking, the example that came to my mind right away is I have this mentor who I actually recently discovered, and she is absolutely crushing it, changing thousands of lives and doing really, really well in her business and in her life in general. And she's traveling all over and like doing all the things and just absolutely crushing it. And at first I heard the mind in me starting to do one of those like, well, how come she can do it so fast and I can't? Or like, why is she doing it so quickly? Like, what does she have that I don't? And then pretty right. quickly, I decided to instead use her as an example of what could be my reality is too, or what will be my reality as well, as I continue, like you said, to show up day after day after day. And the one thing that I want to add on is like Mary was saying, you don't know what that person's gone through. You don't know, you know, the person you're comparing yourself to, you don't know what their backstory is. And this mentor of mine that I'm referring to, when I first found her, I'm like, holy shit, she's crushing it. She had all these quantum leaps. Like she's just slaying so quickly. And then as I continued to consume her content, listen to her podcast, enrolled in one of her courses, I figured out that she actually was in business for 4 years prior to popping off. And I've been in my business for 2.5. So like, yeah, just so, so good. You never know. You really don't. And it's, I feel like perfect social media, it's so easy to like see everybody's now. It's not as easy to find the people you look up to or the people you're comparing yourself to. It's not so easy to find their backstories. I mean, some people don't even share what they've gone through, don't even share their struggles on their pages at all. So yeah, just remember we all have a path. We all have a journey.
Love it.
All right. So
what's yours?
My first mental health reminder is you are not your thoughts. Just because you have a thought does not mean it's true. I'm going to say that one again.
Yes.
You are not your thoughts. Just because you have a thought does not mean it's true. This is literally the art of emotional intelligence. Like when you can realize, and once again, this is such a practice, but when you finally realize that you are not your thoughts, that is when all this personal development stuff gets easier. And it's on this list as a reminder for a reason, because even though I've known this for a while, it's just recently in the past year started to really sink in, and I still need the reminder when those thoughts pop up, those limiting thoughts pop up. So just because you have a thought such as, I don't know, like let me think of a good example. If you have the thought of I'm failing, a lot of the times our minds will take I'm failing and we'll spiral with it and end up in this deep funk. Just because you have the thought I'm failing does not mean that's your truth. It's not. It's a thought being created from some limiting belief somewhere. There's, I mean, literally with every single thought that you have, it's not you. It's not your truth. So remember that.
If you go through this practice, you guys, and one of the best ways to do it is meditation and journaling are the two tools that I've found to be the most beneficial when it comes to slowing down and paying attention to what those thoughts are that cross my mind. But a lot of times whenever I'm feeling stressed or feeling overwhelmed or feeling anxious about something, that's when I kind of take that moment to slow down. Pay attention to, okay, what thoughts are passing through my mind right now? Like what limiting beliefs, what excuses, what, whatever, what's going on in there. And I try to listen to it. And then asking myself that question, is this ultimately true? And is this the truth that I want? Because a lot of times it isn't, it's some anxious thought that's making me feel uncomfortable. And then shifting that into what I want that thought to be instead. Mm-hmm. So that's a really powerful practice, because what Sarah just said, like, if that thought of like, I'm a failure or I'm failing is going through your mind, all you're going to do is look around and your brain is going to find proof that you are failing.
Exactly.
In spiral.
Right.
But this practice, and like, that's why, yeah, this one, you guys, like, I'm so glad you said it twice, because it is so profound. You are not your thoughts. Like, they're not ultimately true. And you have that power to slow down the thoughts so that you can rewrite them into something that you want to be your truth.
Exactly. And yeah, rewrite them in a way that's aligning with your soul. So I'm living proof of this as an entrepreneur. Mary, I'm sure that you can agree. Do you guys know how many times the mind in me had the thought of, I can't do this. It's never going to work for me. I'm never going to be able to create an income doing something that I love. They just have something that I don't. These people are more magical than I am. I just can't do it. Like, those thoughts have crossed my mind since 2.5 years ago when I started my business, probably like, I don't know, 5,000 times. And easily. Here I am doing the opposite. And like, they still come up, and I'm getting really good at hearing the thought and then doing the opposite of what the thought is saying. Like, so if the thought's like, oh, you're never going to be able to pull this off, I take an action to pull that thing off, and I prove to myself that I'm not my thoughts. So that's another good practice too, is like, once you hear a thought, see if you can prove the thought wrong. And that'll prove to you that you are not your thoughts. There's something deeper, which is the truth of who you are.
Yeah. That's a really good exercise to do. I love it.
All right. Give us number three.
My next one is that it is okay and healthy to have a full range of emotions. Mm-hmm. You do not have to feel happy all the time to be a happy person. And I struggled with this one. I was absolutely one of those people that wouldn't let myself feel bad feelings or uncomfortable feelings, I should call them. And I would always be like, no, be positive. You're a positive person. You're a happy person. You have to feel this way. And that in itself is not a healthy way or a happy way to live, to put that pressure that you always need to be happy. We are humans. We have flaws. We are imperfect beings. It's natural for us to have a full range of emotions.
Yep.
Allow those emotions to be in your life. Allow yourself to feel those emotions and to be present with them. It doesn't mean you need to like them all, but that's okay. Breathe into it. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Nothing lasts forever. If you feel like you need to be happy all the time, you are setting yourself up for failure, because that's just not a realistic goal to have. It doesn't mean you can't be happy a lot. I'm happy a lot, but it doesn't mean I don't have bad moments or times where I do feel uncomfortable feelings. Mm-hmm. And learning to feel them and flow through them makes them not as intense. It makes them not as harsh. It doesn't feel like the end of the world, like sometimes things used to feel.
Right. So we could actually combine the last one and this one, because when you're feeling some kind of low vibe, when you're in that emotional state, once again, you're not the thoughts that are going along with it. So if you're feeling like exhausted, or if you're feeling contracted, or if you're feeling, it's all about the feeling. In order to feel your feels, you have to be able to identify the feeling. A lot of the times people can only kind of like identify the thoughts that are going with it, even if that. So see if you can feel the feeling and drop the thoughts around it, because it's really easy to get into a place where you feel like you're in a funk. You feel stagnant. You feel stuck. You feel angry. You feel whatever it is. And then all these thoughts are attached with that emotion that you begin identifying with, which puts you into a further spiral. So if you can just allow yourself to be with those feelings and observe what's happening in your body and the feelings that are present in your body and your mind instead of the thoughts, that'll be so, so powerful for you. And I'm going to add on to this one a little bit too, by saying crying is such a beautiful thing. So that's like a side reminder here. Crying is welcome. It's beautiful. It's an amazing release. It's a very limiting belief that we're taught from a young age that like we shouldn't cry because of X, Y, and Z. But I'm going to say that crying is an amazing thing. I was going to say that we should cry, but I don't like using the word should or shitting on anybody or anything. So crying is awesome. Like if you need to cry, just cry. I still get this. People will start crying and they'll be like, sorry, I'm sorry. And I'm like, stop apologizing. I'm glad you're crying. I'm here to hold space for that. Like, let it out. It's such an emotional release and you'll feel so much better after.
Hell yeah. I agree. I'm a crier too. So I feel like it's like a blessing and a curse because I've always felt like I should be ashamed that I'm crying about something, but now I'm learning to embrace it and let the tears flow. Especially I was a crier before, but now postpartum even more, but it is what it is. And yeah, it's just who I am. So,
yeah, I mean, we're humans. We literally have human bodies and tear ducts for a reason. So use them. All right. The next mental health reminder is one that I've been talking about a ton lately because it's just really been vibing in my life, is taking time for yourself is not selfish. It's selfless. Doing you, putting yourself first sometimes, putting and prioritizing your self-care is not selfish. And it can feel selfish sometimes, whether that's to your family or your friends or like your clients. For me, I feel like when I am prioritizing self-care, there's always this little bit of guilt that comes up, like, oh, but you could be creating something for your clients, or you could be creating a piece of content that would help people. But putting time aside for yourself is very, very selfless, because you all know we can't give from depleted cups. We can only give from a full cup. And if you try to give from a depleted cup, eventually you'll end up burned out and over it, and you will not be able to give at all.
Yeah, this one hits home for me big time, becoming a new mom, because it is so easy to put all of your own needs like on the back burner. Oh, I'm getting like choked up talking about it. Because since Ava's been born, a lot of my practices have been put like to the side. Like I don't have the time each day to do the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I just recently, I told you guys I'm a crier. I just recently am feeling that depleted feeling. It's taken it several months, but I can speak as someone who has not been taking that advice. You need to make time for yourself. Mm-hmm. It is not selfish. If anything, it's doing more harm to the people that you're trying to serve, whether that's your clients, your family, your baby, whatever. And it doesn't need to be anything even over the top. Like we talked about this last time about getting back into like the morning routine. And so, you know, I've done a little bit. I've also had days that I haven't done it at all, but every little bit does count and it matters. And so if you're feeling like, if you are in that same boat where you're like, whoa, when was the last time I did something just for me that didn't feel rushed or scheduled or like this big elaborate thing, but like time for you to truly like refill your cup, whatever that looks like for you, I'm telling you, it is so worth it. Coming from someone who is definitely on the depleted end.
Yeah. So, and like, you're a living proof, because you took the time over the weekend to go have a girl's day. And how much better did you feel after that?
Oh my gosh. Today I went on almost a 3-mile walk. Wow. I posted on Instagram. I created new content. I put together a plan for the week. Like, so much better, you guys.
And you had the baby the whole time, right? They had
the baby the whole time.
Exactly.
So it felt very aligning today and such an inspiring, like ready to tackle the week. And I took a girl's day on Sunday. Jake was watching Ava and I had the chance to just like spend the day with my friends, and it was perfect. It was just what I needed.
Yeah.
I felt so much better coming into this, and like just hearing that reminder again, it's like, oh, the feels, like, because I'm in the thick of it and doing the things to refill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable about all that. I know our listeners are going to be able to relate. So you guys, giving from a full cup is so much easier. And it's like Mary was saying, it's better for your loved ones if you are giving from a full cup, because I have been in situations too, where it's like, I'm not putting myself first and I'm not prioritizing the me time and the self-care. And that's usually when Zach and I end up in arguments and fights. And like, that's usually when I'm like snappy and like kind of a bitch to my mom or to my sister or whoever it is that's in my realm. That's usually when I'm more triggered. So putting yourself first is always so, so selfless, not only for you, but for everybody else around you, for your loved ones.
Such a good one. Such a good one. Oh, and that's the one I'm going to like really take away on this one still. Beautiful. It's been my theme, but I needed that reminder too.
For sure.
So my next reminder is that you determine who you let into your inner circle. So it's okay to cut out toxic friendships or toxic relationships. It's okay to unfollow the pages that make you feel like crap on social media. It's okay to quit the things that are not filling your cup. Like, you need to protect your energy. Mm-hmm. You are in charge of that and nobody else. So you need to do what it takes, and it's okay to do what it takes to be very careful of that energy that you have and who you are letting in to your circle.
Totally.
I think we forget that we are in control. Like, it's like, oh, I've been talking to this person forever, so it's just the way it is. Or like, oh, I follow all these Instagram pages that make me feel like shit, but I follow them without even thinking. Or maybe it's Facebook. I mean, I'm sure we all have some toxic either relatives or friends from high school or whatever that just post things that you see it and you can like feel yourself being triggered. You can feel your blood pressure boil. And again, there's work to be had there. Like, that's obviously a side point. And you guys know, love your triggers because it gives you an opportunity to work on things. But sometimes you just don't need to see that shit on your feed every single day.
Right.
So get rid of it. Yeah. Unfollow them, block them, mute them, do whatever you need to protect your energy and protect your inner circle.
Yeah. So I'm going to add to this, and this is going to be like a kind of a weird example, but it's something that I've noticed in my life lately. And so I'm just going to share it in case you're in the situation and maybe don't realize it. So this goes for like service providers too, if you will. I don't know if that's the way to put it, but I used to go to this nail salon very consistently, and I've always gone. It's like, you know, you have those people, like you just always go to them. So I would always go to this nail salon, and I know the people, I know pretty much everyone who works there. And once upon a time, I did enjoy getting my nails done there. And now I've realized as of lately, I leave there feeling more depleted. And I'm like, I was asking myself, like, why do I feel more depleted? Like, I'm doing me, I'm getting my nails did, which makes me feel really good. Usually, like, I love having my nails done. It makes me feel good. So I'm asking myself the question, like, why do I feel so effing depleted leaving there? And it's 100% because of the energy of the people. Not saying that they're bad people. They're not. But like, and you guys, as you continue your personal development journeys, you'll become more and more intuitive with energies. But like, the vibe in that nail salon in general, it's just, I can feel it in my body. It's heavy. And I don't know the people on a personal level. So I don't know, like, you know, what they're actually like and what kind of energy they actually carry. But if I had to guess, I'd say that it's more on the low vibe side, which is like not a bad thing. And I'm not shaming them for it at all. But what I'm trying to say is like, you can change where you go get your nails done, even if, because the mind tells the story, oh, but like, they're going to be so upset if you go to another nail place and like they see and they're going to be bummed. You got to put yourself first. Like, let's circle back to that one too. You have to put yourself first and your energy first. And if you're doing something like getting your nails done and you're leaving feeling depleted, like something is off there. It's okay. Like Mary was saying, you are in full control of your circle. You're in full control of the people that you surround yourself with. And so it's okay to switch nail providers, even if you do hurt somebody's feeling, for the sake of your energy and your well-being.
Perfect example. I love that.
So also, I switched nail places since then and it made all the difference. Now I enjoy it again. Simple
things. I wish
things.
It was closer so we could go together, because you love the place that I go. They're so nice. They remember me by name every time. Hi, Mary.
I love that.
And they remember that I brought my sister there for her bachelorette party. And they're so like, when's cute. Your sister coming back?
Maybe we'll have to set that up soon. All right. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. So my next one is also, these are all just so good. Sometimes we need to break down to break through. So I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we need to break down to break through. Maybe write that one down on a sticky note and hang it somewhere. So these are just, when I wrote that one down, here are a couple more thoughts that went along with that. We have to feel the heal. So when you're feeling, it can feel like you're breaking down. When you're allowing yourself to feel instead of suppress the emotion, right? Because usually a human that isn't into this work yet. And even if you are, like, this takes practice and consistency and devotion. But typically a human would feel something bad and want to numb it with food, with booze, with weed, with Netflix, whatever the vice is. And so when you're actually not numbing and you're actually feeling, it can feel like you're breaking down. Maybe that looks like crying. Maybe that looks like screaming into a pillow. Maybe that looks like having a whole day where you just like don't get out of bed and you just like are in your feels. But a breakthrough usually always follows. Going along with that, admitting your deepest fear. So another one that I find in myself and in others is that there's sometimes this fear that we keep suppressed because we're afraid that if we speak the fear out loud and we admit that we're having this fear about whatever it is, we'll feel like we're failing or we'll feel like we're quitting or whatever it is. So sometimes you just have to admit your deepest fears. You have to really admit what's happening in your internal environment. You have to accept that it is what it is, surrender to it. That can all like doing all of those things. And there's kind of like a lot of pieces here and there's so much more to this that we don't have time to talk about today, but that can all really feel like you're breaking down, like your life is over and everything's failing, but it's not. This is you being a human, you feeling your feels, you shining light on the things you've been suppressing. Cause the more we suppress things, the stronger, the louder they get, the more they actually control our life. So when you're in the process of admitting, accepting, and surrendering, it can feel like I'm breaking down, I'm having a midlife crisis or whatever it is, but a breakthrough almost always follows. Sometimes we need that breakdown and like we need to unleash it all and just release it all to create the space for our breakthrough.
Yeah. You said, I really don't have much to add on that one besides the fact that I completely agree. I think, again, we don't want to feel those uncomfortable feelings. Like they don't feel good. I'm not going to pretend to be like, I love when I feel like everything's failing and crumbling around me because I don't. But I will say that those moments that I've had, like, I think what comes to mind to me is early in my business when I was comparing myself to other people and I was just feeling like I couldn't get quality, I couldn't create quality content like I wanted to. And I was getting so frustrated and I'm seeing everyone around me do it. And I felt so stuck in like, what the F is going on? Like, why can't I get this? And it just felt like it was such a failure, like head on the keyboard, crying, like, what am I even doing? And that shitty experience gave me that space to take a big step back to say like, okay, I'm going to look at all this like an experiment. It gave me the space to say what's not working. Okay, this, this, and this. I'm quickly figuring out all these things that aren't working, but it's getting me closer to the solution that did.
Yeah.
And guess what? Everything came together. I kept trying. I kept figuring it out. And boom, I got it. Yeah. And it works. And I've continued to grow. I've continued to expand on my knowledge on building a business, creating content, all those things. And it sucks to go through, but sometimes you need to go through that to get to the other side.
Absolutely.
And so it sucks. I'm not going to sit here and pretend again, like it's rainbows and butterflies, but that's part of the human experience, you guys. And that's okay. Don't suppress that. Feel it, cry, scream, let it out. So
I remember that just reminded me of one of my biggest ones. And it was also in the beginning of my business. So I started my business, hired a business coach right away, and pretty much took everything that business coach said to heart because I didn't know how to run a business before then. And the way that that business coach teaches how to run a business, I actually fucking hate. And my soul is like, absolutely not. But at the time I was still being ran from a place of my mind for the most part, and was just doing whatever I thought I should do to quote unquote succeed. So I did it that way for maybe like 4 months. And I'm like, I hate this. Did I make the wrong choice to start a business? And I was like in this point of struggle. And that's really when too, like the binge and the emotional eating really started again, because you guys know I had that pattern throughout my life a lot. And so when I was going through all this in my business, the binge and emotional eating started, which of course felt like me breaking down. And it led to me finding my second certification, which was through a program called Hungry for Happiness, where I learned how to heal my relationship to food in my body, how to help others do the same. But I learned so much fucking more than that. Like everything I talk about on the show, it started from me being in that program. So, and of course, like I had to learn it for 10 months and then I had to embody it in order to be able to coach on it and create courses on it and speak on it here. And I did. But if I hadn't joined that business program in the first place, you know, if I would have started my business with a business mentor whose soul is maybe more in alignment with the way my soul likes to run my business, I might not have ever joined Hungry for Happiness. And then my life would be completely different. Mary, your life would be completely different because we never would have done this podcast together. All of you guys listening, your lives would be completely different. So it's like, damn, I really had to hire the worst business. He's not the worst business coach, but a business coach that was absolutely not aligned. I had to do that. I had to go through that breakdown. I had to go through that what the fuck moment in order to break through and change my life, which is leading me to change thousands of more lives. So yeah.
Such a good example.
Good example.
That's really good. All right. I have one more. You have one more?
Yep.
Okay. So the last ones, my last one is the reminder to never, ever, ever be ashamed to ask for help. Mm. That's one of the things that I am seeing more of in my own kind of inner circle, social media pages and whatnot, that people are normalizing talking about these things. And I want to be an advocate for that as well, because we don't have to figure it all out on our own. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be like on our lonely little island, like feeling all these hard feelings by ourselves. It is okay to ask for help, especially if you are struggling to feel these things and you feel like you're slipping further and further. Don't feel like there's anything wrong with reaching out to someone that you love and trust and mm-hmm. asking for help.
Yeah.
People, for one, are so willing and want to help you, but sometimes they don't even know that you need it until you reach out to them.
Totally.
And so I encourage you to, you know, find that support network. We have one in our Facebook group. It is a very safe, a very, very loving community. So that is always an option for you. But, you know, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a family member, whether it's just a close friend, a neighbor, you name it, you know, it's okay to talk to those things. And it can sometimes be such a healing process of getting it out to someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll be amazed at how many people will either relate to you or be there for support and be able to help you through it.
Yeah.
And and that's the last piece, is just sometimes if a friend isn't able to help you the way that you need support, there's also so many options for professional help.
Totally.
And again, I think that is becoming a more normalized thing. I know that there are apps that can help you with that sort of thing, or you can, you know, see someone local to you, but there's no shame in any of that. In fact, it's encouraged.
Right. There's also coaches and mentors, which, by the way, this is a perfect time to say this. I haven't put this out to anybody yet. So you guys are literally the first to know. I might be dropping it on my Instagram page this week, so maybe not. But Mary, I haven't even told you this yet. So I closed my doors for one-on-one coaching for like 7 months. So when I wrapped up with my last one-on-one clients, I closed the doors and decided I was going to really focus on group programs and wasn't sure when I was going to go back to one-on-one coaching, if ever. And of course, I had some one-on-one clients tell me, you can't stop doing this forever. Like, there are people who really need that one-on-one support. And so the thought has been created from my soul in the last week or two, maybe I'll open up those doors again. And then yesterday I got this really long heartfelt message from this woman who is struggling and needs the one-on-one coaching. Like, she's so fucking ready. And my heart is just like a full body yes, which led me to believe that that was my sign to open my doors to one-on-one coaching again. So with that said, I'm taking on 3. So I'm only going to do 3 for now. Maybe that'll change in the future, but I still want to really focus on groups. So I am opening 3 spots. Obviously, one of them is already filled. So I have 2 spots open in one-on-one coaching. So if this is resonating with you and you want that extra support, accountability, and somebody to see what you're missing, reach out to me. Just DM me on Instagram, or you can send me an email, which we'll link in the show notes, and we can have the conversation about a potential one-on-one container.
Oh, that's amazing, Sarah. I'm so excited.
Because oh my God, I know, me too.
Incredible. I know you've helped me through so many big decisions and just tough times and big shifts in my life. So, and I know that you do the same and beyond for your actual clients. So
I'm super excited. I haven't felt this excited about one-on-one coaching. Yeah. I haven't felt this excited about one-on-one coaching in a really long time. So it's going to be an awesome container because I'm bringing in breathwork now too, which will be really cool. And I just, of course, you all know, Mary and I both talk about this, but as we evolve, our coaching gets better, our offerings get better, because as Mary and I evolve, that energy is like put out onto you and everybody who works with us. So I'm fucking pumped.
Yes. That's all right. Amazing.
So the last
one. Bring it home, girl. Yeah, bring it home.
Last mental health reminder is that it is okay to grieve more than just deaths. So, and I do want to say something on grieving deaths in a second as well, but I'm going to start with this piece. This is something that's new to me. I never really fully allowed myself to feel grief until my grandma just transitioned. So some say died, I say transition. And I felt the grief, and I work with one-on-one coach myself and was chatting to her about this. And actually I started talking to her about the grief feeling I was feeling before my grandma even died. And so I was sharing with her, like, I feel this new feeling. I know intuitively it's grief. It's like right in my like solar plexus area. I can freaking pinpoint it. It's insane how strongly I can feel it. But like, my grandma's still alive. And so her and I started having the conversation about grieving things, grieving what ifs, like grieving transitions, grieving moving houses. And I told my trauma coach at the time, I was like, wow, it makes so much more sense that humans are allowed to grieve more than just deaths. Cause I think that we think we can only grieve deaths, but I've always felt whenever I've moved out of a house. So when I was in college, if I moved, I can think of a house that I moved out of once. I can think of an apartment I moved out of. I can think about the fact that I lived in Prague in the Czech Republic for 4 months and I had to move out of that apartment. Every single time I left, I felt off. And I'm like, what? I just felt off. And I felt really sad and kind of nostalgic leaving those places every time I moved. And to this day, I still feel that. But it just kind of felt weird. And I kind of just brushed it aside and said, well, it's life, whatever. Fuck that. We can grieve whatever we want. Like, looking back, I'm like, damn, I could have been grieving and like allowing myself to fully feel the grief of moving, of leaving Prague and coming back to America, of moving out of the apartment that I loved, of moving out of my college home with roommates that I loved. If I was grieving that, once again, when we feel, we heal. So I would have, you know, something else would have shifted in me if I allowed myself the time and space to grieve that. And at the time, so during most of those times, I was still in my binge emotional eating days because in college they were very strong. So I guarantee you that that would have started to shift as well, the binge emotional eating, if I would have just grieved all those things. So it's okay to grieve what ifs. It's okay to grieve things in life, like moving from one home to another. It's okay to grieve the loss of a friendship. So even if the person is still alive, it's okay and it's healthy to grieve that loss. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay to grieve. Like, explore that.
I completely agree that I feel like when you hear the word grieve, you associate it with someone grieving a death of a person. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like when I had this realization that you can grieve things other than people dying was when I quit my job to start my business. I was grieving quitting my job.
Yeah,
because I loved it. Like, I didn't have this terrible job that I absolutely hated. It wasn't a fit and it didn't fit with my vision of what I wanted. So I knew I had to leave, but I was so sad. And it was a really intense experience for me to leave this job that paid well, that I knew how to do inside and out, that I loved all of my coworkers. I loved everyone on my team. It was such an incredible place. And I loved what I did. I was so good at what I did. But then to transition and go into something that I was very unsure of, but just felt very called and had to have that blind faith. Like, there was a lot of grieving going on during that time. And I just remember having that moment of like, why am I feeling this way about a job? Like, is this normal? What's wrong with me? But I was grieving this whole other life. And that's kind of what leads me into my other example is like, I know with a lot of new moms, like you can feel that grief, like for your old life. And for the life where you didn't have to take care of someone or you weren't the primary caretaker.
Yeah.
And that's normal. And that's okay. Like, don't get down on yourself if you're feeling that way. And again, if those feelings get very severe, of course, speak to someone because postpartum depression is absolutely a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a very common thing, but you can feel those sort of things when you are transitioning from one phase of life into another. So whether that's, you know, graduating college and getting a career, or if you're married and you get a divorce and you're now, you know, you go from being married to single, like anything that's like a transition for me, being, you know, a married woman into now being like a mom.
Yeah.
It's okay to grieve your other past chapters of your life too. It doesn't mean that you're not going somewhere even more incredible and more amazing or something that you know is the right choice for you. You can still be excited about what's ahead, but still grieve whatever it is that you're leaving behind.
Those were amazing examples. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So thank you for sharing that. And just one more note on grief in general. And this kind of goes into the grief that we feel when a human transitions from physical earth back to the soul world, to heaven, to wherever you believe that our souls go after this life. It's also okay to grieve deaths that maybe are of humans who you weren't like super close to. So one thing that comes to my mind is I have a friend, and actually I'm going to give you guys a resource for this. So there are a lot of doctors and nurses and people in the medical field in general who they start taking care of these patients that maybe they just met, and they take care of the patients for, I don't know, however long that they do. Maybe it's 2 days, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, and then the patient dies. And it's okay to grieve the death of somebody who you haven't known for a long time. And it's really actually important too. So if you guys are in the medical field and you resonate to this, my friend Rachel, she's called the breath nurse. So just type in the breath nurse on Instagram. She actually used to be a nurse. So she was a nurse for, I think, like 8 years. And this is something that was like very suppressed in that industry. She didn't know how to grieve losses of patients. And they're not, I'm under the impression that you're not really taught that in school to become a nurse or a doctor or whatever you are. I know that there's so many other gigs in the medical field, but you lose patients, and maybe even sometimes you develop a really strong bond with a patient and then they leave the hospital because they got better. You know, it could be that end of it too. It's so important to grieve those things, and you're allowed to. I feel like humans think like, oh, well, I wasn't close to them, or like, I didn't really know them, so I'm not allowed to grieve. Yeah, you are. If you're feeling it coming up, you are, and it's healthy. So if you are in the medical field, go follow the breath nurse. She does weekly breathwork sessions and can resonate with all of you. And she really helps people feel and avoid the burnout that comes with not grieving the loss of patients. So yes, that's my last one on grief. These were so good. So good.
Let us know which ones you resonate with. Let us know which ones you would add to this list. We would love to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
And your takeaways. So definitely check us out on Instagram at Her Vibe Is Pretty Podcast. We are also on Facebook. And like I said, such a loving and safe community there to share things that you are going through, share things that you are processing. So please join our Facebook group, also at Her Vibe Is Pretty Podcast. And if you guys want to get one-on-one coaching with Sarah, I'm not kidding. Run, don't walk, people, because I can tell you those spots are not going to last long.
Yeah, no. Hopefully they're still open by the time you guys listen, but definitely send me a message if you're interested, and we'll see if they are.
But amazing. We love you guys so much.
Love you guys.
We'll catch you on next week's episode of Her Vibe Is Pretty.
Bye.